I see that there is the willingness, like everybody wants to change and make this better. Yeah. But ultimately, I think there's a broken ladder. It's not necessarily the glass ceiling. It's the broken ladder of getting up to the top. And that is something that I feel very passionate about and would like to change.
Hello, welcome to another Musicale Focused with me, Musicale's editor, Joe Sparrow, and I'm very happy to welcome to this episode, Marie Clausen. Marie is on the board of Merlin, the digital rights music licensing partner organization for independent rights holders, and she's also Ninja Tune's MD for the USA. Now, Marie successfully initiated Merlin's Engage Mentorship Program, which is designed to boost the representation of women in the top ranks of the music industry. So we chat to her about how it works and what they have learned doing it. All that in just 1 minute. Now, if you're not familiar with the Musicale Focus podcast, we look at one important music business news story at a time and we focus on it. So it should be pretty quick. In fact, it should take about the same amount of time as the marvelously named Melvin O'Doom could hypothetically assemble 120 scones, or scones if you're that way inclined. Melvin assembled 4 in 1 minute in 2022 in celebration of the Queen's Platinum Jubilee. A record that I think is potentially breakable. Anyway, talking about putting something tasty together, Marie Clausen is a woman who has done exactly that with her career. She has risen to a senior position in the music industry, but only to find that she was often the only woman in the room. So she's now driven to change that. We talked to her about how Merlin's mentorship program works, the importance of finding strong allyship and support along the way, and what changes she is already seeing, and what you can do to be part of that change. It's a great conversation, so let's go over to Marie now. Well, I'm very happy to welcome Marie Clausen to the podcast. Hello, Marie.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
Great to see you. We've got a really interesting topic to talk about. But first of all, let's just set the context with you and your background and what you do. So who are you and what do you do at both Merlin and also Ninja Tune?
My name is Marie Clausen. I am German-American based in Los Angeles. I'm currently the managing director of Ninja Tune in North America. And I'm also director of the Merlin on the Merlin board, as well as the managing board of Merlin.
Just to give us a little bit of extra context on your achievements, because you have reached these sort of senior levels in the music business. Can you explain some of the things you've done, some of the things you do at the moment in your positions at Merlin and Ninja Tune?
Yes, I would love to. Thank you so much for asking that question. So right now I'm the managing director at Ninja Tune in North America. That means I am leading a team of 15 out of our Los Angeles office. And we are working with artists such as Odessa, Thundercat, Bonobo, recently Brit-nominated Young Fathers and Barry Can't Swim. And we're really turning around every stone in the market to just strive for best success for the Ninja Tune artists. And in addition to that, I successfully built up Ninja Tune's digital sales team globally. So I'm running a large team across America, the UK, Germany, Australia. And that really is my forte and has brought us many successes along the way. When it comes to Merlin, Merlin is now 15% of is representing 15% of the music market. So it's a fairly big size company. It's one of the best digital rights agencies out there for independence, and it's representing 30,000 record labels worldwide. In my position, I am a director on the Merlin board and also the management board, and I'm working very closely with the CEO and the wider leadership team on giving perspective on like matters from the membership, like really driving benefits, having the experience of being in the market and bringing records out all the time. I know what's driving music consumption, and I know what the hurdles are that record companies are in right now. And it's one of the very unique perspective that we are able to give since the Merlin leaders are not having record labels themselves. So that is really important. And then, yeah, we talk a lot about strategy and collaborate on a global level. I think that's what's making the Merlin Board so special, is that we have 16 leaders from across the world and like constantly discussing what we're seeing in the marketplace and how we can drive it forward to the better for the record labels.
That brings us on perfectly to the Merlin Engage mentorship program. First of all, can you give us some basics about that? How does it work? Who does it target? And what are the ambitions for this program?
Yes, absolutely. So the Merlin Engage program is a 6-month program that we initiated for the first time in 2023. And the goal of the program is to have more women in leadership positions across the membership. So as all of you know, there's still a huge gap in the industry. And what we have done with this program is to pair up executive directors from the board with really talented women from the middle management across the Merlin membership. And we've seen some fantastic results doing that, and we hope to do way more in 2024.
Let's go back to what you said a minute ago, that you were one of the first women to be in these positions. Mm-hmm. And as you said, you know, women are unfortunately a sort of occupying only a small number of seats in these key positions. So on a personal level then, before we talk about the sort of Merlin perspective, on a personal level, why is this important to you?
This is very important to me because I see that there's a lot of talented women out there that have the potential to do way better in their careers. And secondly, I am often in conversation where we are looking to hire more diverse. And there is the fact that there are not enough qualified candidates to really promote women within the C-suites of companies. And I started to be quite tired, to be frank, of hearing, well, there's just not enough women that actually would qualify, so the job goes to a man. Or, well, we've tried really hard for this to happen, but it just didn't work. And in fact, I see that there is the willingness, like everybody wants to change and make this better. Yeah. But ultimately, I think there's a broken ladder. It's not necessarily the glass ceiling. It's the broken ladder of getting up to the top. And that is something that I feel very passionate about and would like to change. And I strongly also believe that within our community, we have the power to change that. We just need to put better structures in place for these women to get the opportunities to reach for the top. So that could be from like transferring skill sets, like negotiating deals, for example, right? Like leadership skill sets, public speaking, all of these things that it takes basically to succeed at the highest level. And in addition, I also want to say that I think that there's so much power within having a network. Like while we see right now that technology is really driving music forward at a very, very fast rate, like we will only do well as a community or like as an industry if we are able to ask questions, figure it out together, and navigate this landscape together in a dynamic conversation. And for that, we need both sides. We need men and women and everyone in between to ensure that we have the best outcome.
You've obviously had a successful journey through the music industry, and I guess have experienced what I would call the old music industry along the way. You know, you're saying now that there does seem to be an encouraging number of people who want to actively make this change, right? So you've come through the old system. Did you see on the way, sort of, is this too simplistic a view, but did you see sort of talented women fall by the wayside because of the old system on that journey?
What I observe over and over again is that I am in many situations actually the only woman in the room when it comes to decision making, okay, or maybe one of the two women that are in the room. And I think that there's just a lot of room to change this for the better.
Yeah. In terms of very big picture, it's very obvious that it's a good idea to have an equal number of women making decisions at the top of the industry, right? It makes sense in a sort of, you know, a moral sense, if you like. But that's a little bit of a simple way of looking at it, isn't it? Why is deliberately fostering female leadership so important in that wider sense?
It is so important because it won't happen on its own, or will happen very slowly. Companies that have a broader representation across the board do economically better. Many studies have shown that. So there's not just the moral aspect, there's also the aspect that companies are driving better results. Usually you have a way more dynamic conversation by listening to different approaches, and that sparks business and drives ideas forward. And a wider business environment, or like if you look at the big picture, we also need more women that are sort of like trailblazers and role models to inspire next generations, which is another example that I would like to point out here, because I think it will really increase everything for the better. And in addition, we are seeing that every woman that is experiencing mentorship and the positivity of mentorship is going, or most likely wanting to pay it back. Like I have had mentors in my life, and I have seen the multiplier effect on my own. Like I've had two amazing mentors from whom I received a lot of encouragement along the way, and that definitely has opened doors for me. And I think oftentimes, like personally, I was never in an official mentorship program. I've just worked really hard and built up in a successful network. And I found people who believed in me and encouraged me along the way. But that encouragement has a tremendous effect on a woman's career. And it is something that I want more women to experience.
Mm. And, you know, from let's go back to your perspective then, you know, as a woman who's risen through the industry to a very senior position, when we think about the program itself, how are you bringing your experiences to bear on what the program does and how it operates?
My career started in Berlin at Universal Music. I was super young and just had a very successful entry into the music business at that point. At the age of 26, I had an opportunity to move to New York for a job offer, which I did. And that was a life-changing opportunity. It was very hard. I didn't speak any English. I didn't have a network. The industry was completely broken. We were in a transition from the physical formats sort of like completely dying out, and the digital market just wasn't there yet. There was a days of it and there was a vision of it, but it wasn't there yet. So I had a defining moment of either going home and trying something else, or to lean into the opportunity and build something up, which I've done. And that has led me to become the managing director at NinjaTune for America. It has led me to build up a very successful global streaming department. And it has led to significant leadership experience and the experience of putting myself forward and breaking down barriers. And a lot of what happened in my career wasn't luck. I always worked really hard. I'm very disciplined. I made sacrifice. I had very short maternity leave. I stopped drinking. I started running. I set goals, like all of these things. But I also applied strategies to move forward. Let's say when I was running for the first time for board in 2019, I didn't just run for board. I came up with a list of the 100 most influential people that are voting for the board. And I contacted each and all of them basically to drum up to support, to explain what my position is and to explain what I want to change. And I had for a long time looked at the board and seen they were just men. Most of them are CEOs and owners. And I was very worried that I might maybe also not even be wanted in the room. But after I successfully ran this campaign and I was elected, I noticed that everybody in the boardroom was actually very welcoming. And I noticed, and I think this is an important thing, people do want change and a fresh wind. But sometimes when you think a door is closed, it's not necessarily closed. Sometimes you just have to open it and walk through it. And so all of these experiences were very defining and have brought me to where I am in my career right now. And that is what I'm bringing to the leadership program or to the Engage program. And I would like to share and pay forward this experience with other women and help to do hands-on management really on like how women can can move up. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the program then. It's just, I think it's just completed its first year, or it's about to complete the first year. So what were your learnings from this first year of running it?
What we learned from the program is that there isn't enough programs like this. Like at first we were worried, like, I mean, is this actually, do we need another program like this? There are already a lot of mentorship programs out there, but in fact, I think there can't be enough. So there was huge demand for it. Secondly, all of the women have found that it was extremely beneficial, not just on a mentee level, but also on a mentor level. So for the mentors, even though they're very accomplished board directors, CEOs, owners, like there's been a learning effect as well, which is what are the younger generations dealing with? How can I apply this to my own company? And so there's a double effect for the mentee to receive more education and for the mentor to realize actually everything that they have to offer and potentially learn something of what they could do better in their own company. So it's a double dip when it comes to driving benefit for the members. We also saw some like tangible results. So we have seen promotions happening after the program. There's a very talented woman from Secret City Records that was, after the program, promoted to general manager. So that was amazing. And a direct result, really, to the program. Then we have seen, we have seen that salaries have increased. Obviously, that's also still something that we see in the industry, that the pay between women and men is not necessarily equal. But yeah, so we have given hands-on management also when it comes to negotiation skills and how to go about that. And the other result that we've seen is that women want to continue to work together. So friendships are basically coming out of this. And I really hope that the program will lead to more women continuing to build a very successful support system around them.
I mean, it's interesting that the measurability as well, because I guess they're all very keen to share those measurement points to prove the program, so that it's a feedback loop, isn't it? Aside from those kind of things, which is showing that you are, those measurement points are showing that you are helping women get promoted, which is the goal of the program. Yep. What is their feedback to you from maybe both sides? What kind of things are they saying to you, the mentors and the mentees?
Yes, they're saying that they're finding it very, very beneficial. Many of the women, especially the mentees, are surprised what sort of shared experiences they are having. Feedback is also that they all would like to do more. So for example, we are thinking now about getting together in person. For the next program, we are also targeting to get a public speaking coach in. Another aspect, and I want to really also thank you at this point, the Merlin team. The program has been very, very well executed. So from the beginning, we have set very clear expectations, and we had a constant feedback loop between what the goals are of the mentees and what the mentors can offer. And I personally was a mentor in the program, and at some point I was asked with a question from my mentee that I wasn't confident of answering. So I reached out to the wider Merlin team for feedback and received really good information, basically, that helped me to navigate that moment with my mentee. Well, that's one of the other feedback that we had, is that every moment that we spend on making sure that this program is as good as it can be was a perfect minute invested, because it paid out by far.
And just to sort of touch on the structure to help listeners understand, a mentee enters the program, and are there regular meetings with their mentor? Is there a structured sort of, not a syllabus, but a sort of things to do? Or how does it work?
Yes. So this program is 6 months long, and at a minimum, the mentor and the mentee are meeting for 1 hour per month. Okay. There is sort of best practice that is being deployed for the mentor, and also the mentee receives it as well, so that there's really clear expectations on how to navigate it. In between the monthly check-ins, between the pairs. There's also feedback loop. So for example, after 3 months, we've asked everybody, like, do you still find that this is beneficial? If not, what could we change? So that was an important part. Also, we did give the option, like, do you actually want to continue or not? We kicked off the program with sort of like an inspirational get together. And we had an amazing woman talk. It was the CEO of Sappup. Her name is Megan. Yeah. She's based in Seattle and is just, you know, someone that has had a very incredible career in music, and was basically able to share her story. And I think that is always really important for the mentees as well, just to see, yeah, just to see female role models basically, and what it takes, or, and that it's possible to move forward. And so at the end of it, we did a similar get together again, just to like really encourage like the group dynamics and like sharing what was positive.
Yeah. In terms of longer term repercussions, it's clear that, you know, the obvious ambition here is that more women get promoted to senior positions, and ultimately the very senior positions, and more women see them. If they see it, they can be it, and then it becomes self-perpetuating, right? But what other longer term repercussions do you hope that you get out of running this program?
Well, I hope that it's not just going to stop with women. I hope that we are able to foster a positive environment and nurture basically and share what is working. And I believe that, you know, like as I mentioned before, this is very, very fast paced what we are experiencing at the minute. And it's a challenging environment on many, many levels, basically, right? The market is again at another disruption, most likely coming up on the streaming side. I believe that, yes, the world will be better with more women in leadership positions, but ultimately I just hope that we can really foster a more positive environment across the board, and empower everyone really to reach out and collaborate. I don't think it necessarily needs a mentorship program like this. It is helpful to have something like this, but ultimately everybody can have a mentor or have a mentee. It just takes the courage, wanting to change something and realizing that a lot of the power lies within our communities.
So it's a change of mindset, because I mean, it's I think everybody knows this, but it's really not spoken about very much. There has been, the music industry can be a very toxic place and has been for a long time, right? But it's kind of considered inherent. But I guess that's what you're talking about, is that there's also a much bigger change in thinking around this.
Yes, correct.
We always try and talk in a sort of actionable way in the podcast. So, well, how can listeners do something? You've mentioned there about perhaps, you know, being more programs, but also you can do it on an individual level. So what can listeners do? I know that's a big question, but even if they're not in senior positions, what can they do to help this objective, which, as you've identified, is one that a lot of people really want to get behind?
Yes. I think that there's lots of things that you could do. First of all, I believe that it's really important, or like, I think that there's a huge power in sharing your wins and what is working for you, and not holding back the secrets of why you are moving forward in your career or why you have achieved a certain result. I think the more you give away and openly talk about it, the more will come back.
This is a really good point. So to just talk on that point, that's something which is really common, isn't it? That people hold on to their quote secrets and don't want to share it. Can I just ask you about that? Because I've experienced that. Everyone's experienced that to some degree. A lot of people might think, well, that just sounds counterintuitive. I've got to hold on to these secrets. So how do you counter that argument?
I believe that there's just something bigger out there, right? Yes, something like a result that works in one moment probably won't work in the long time again, because the market is constantly shifting. Yeah. So yes, something can be very successful, but ultimately I think that it always leads to the next thing. And the more you collaborate and the more you collaborate and exchange ideas, the better you will get. Mm. And I think that sort of stands is at the bottom of that thinking. Yeah. I mean, it's something very unique to the music industry that we are on many levels competitors, fiercely competitive, but on the other hand, we are also collaborators. Mm. And I think it's a small balance to walk in, but ultimately, I think we are better in it all together by, you know, sharing what is working than not.
Okay.
Just going back to your question, like what can everyone do, basically? So yeah, I think first of all, just being proactive, like I just said. Secondly, I think that just going back to gender, I think just being inclusive, being positive, fostering change wherever possible, basically, or also calling out if something's happening that's just not right. Right? I mean, there's still a lot of bad behavior that we could all perhaps get better at, including myself.
Here's a question that I think is one that is, I'm not speaking on behalf of men here, but I hear talking behind the scenes, which is men saying, I want to be involved, but I understand that, for instance, in systems like this, it's women supporting women, and that's really important. So, and I think sometimes they don't want to ask the question out loud because they're afraid of sounding stupid, right? So what can men do? And I know that that's also a bit of a big and simple question, but what can men do to support this?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I think being positive about programs like this, sharing the news about it. We also have had male mentors in our program.
Right.
So this is not just women's subject. And it's really interesting because I hear you totally on it. I've oftentimes, and that was the interesting experience when I was first having a seat at the Merlin table, that I noticed that all men there want to change, right? It was a very like male-dominated environment in the beginning, but it just organically changed and everybody was so open to it. And what I have found personally really, I've never had a female mentor. I always had male mentors. Mm. But I had people reach out to me and encourage me along the way. And I think that's something that everybody can do, basically. Like every man can do it. It's just if you see someone talented that might be benefiting from, you know, a bit of cheer and knowledge transfer, go for it and do it. It's going to change everything for the better.
Mm, great. Well, thanks for that. I'll put some links below the podcast to this program and people can investigate it for themselves and maybe even apply when you run it again. I think you're opening up opportunities soon.
Yeah,
right?
I think fairly soon. Yes, we just confirmed 15 remarkable mentors. So I'm not allowed to share yet who they are, but it's okay. A really incredible list of C type level mentors. It's going to be really good, and the program will be starting soon, and it's available for all of the Merlin members.
Right, great. So I will put that beneath the podcast, and people can check it out, whether they're going to apply or whether they're going to recommend it to other people to apply for it, I guess. Final question, as ever, is more about music and less about the business. If you could only listen to one piece of music for the rest of your life, Marie, what would it be?
Oh, Friday I'm in Love by The Cure.
Right. Now, that's a great song. Yes. And why that one?
Well, I think it's a really positive song.
Yes.
It makes me smile and it reminds me to relax because I'm hustling all the time trying to, you know, drive things forward. And this is one of the songs that pulls me out of it and makes me realize, no, you know, you only live once. And
right.
Just
it forces you to take a weekend. That's the, it's the, yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Good.
So I would like to listen to it for the rest of the life.
Yes. Good. Well, yes, I guess if you've got the rest of your life to listen to one song, you may as well take that time off. I will put that link to that song beneath the podcast as well. So Marie Clausen, thank you very much. So thanks again to Marie for joining us. We've put some links to the various
things that she mentioned beneath the podcast, including the mentorship program. If you found that useful or you think someone else will get something out of it, please share it on with them. And if you want to get in touch with me, I would, of course, love to hear from you. You can email me on joe, J-O-E, at musically.com. Music Ally also has a free weekly email called The Knowledge, which rounds up bits and pieces of all the best analysis, news, marketing insight, and so on from across Music Ally's broad range of services. Link is below the podcast. And that is it. So thanks for listening. As always, I've been Joe Sparrow. You've been you. And until next time, farewell.